Our dear friend Esther knew something about stress. She knew something about troubles and trials and struggles. She knew what it was to have to fight. She knew what it was to have to be in a position that was greatly uncomfortable. She saved a lot of people through her godly response. So we're going to look at her here in chapter 8. And I'm in the book of Job, and that's not going to help us at all. It says, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king. Now, we're seeing victory, but it wasn't always victory. It was sackcloth and ashes. It was hands wringing in the night. It was, if I go and do that, these are the risks that I have to take in order to get there. And folks, if we understand anything about stress, is that you've got to do something with it. Many of us, we experience stress and we sit on it. We understand that there are things that we can do. As a matter of fact, I firmly believe that in almost any situation, whether it's in your control or not, there is something you can do. Let's take a problem so big, but you didn't cause it, and there's nothing physically to do, and you're just kind of sitting there with this problem going, well, I can't force this, and I can't make that happen, but I'm just going to sit here, and it's going to bother me. Well, instead of letting it bother you, give it to the Lord. Go to Him and pray. Father, I have no control over this situation. I cannot negotiate with men and women and get them to fully see my point of view. Lord, only You can convict souls, but I pray. Lord, You do something mighty and I trust in You. Right? We could use our government as an example, right? I tell you what, I could probably call Joe Biden right now. And he'd be too busy to talk to me, right? I wouldn't even get to him. I wouldn't even know what number to call. But I tell you what, I often pray about our government and the things that I see being done in it. Very little I can do, but except for when it comes time to vote, I can go vote. I can talk, I can preach, but I can't go over to these people and explain to them this is a child that you are killing. This is bad fiscal behavior, bad financial behavior that you guys are behaving in. I can't convince them of that. And you can sit there and we can, oh no, what are we going to do? Or I can say, Lord, I picked up again what I told you I was laying at your feet. And in many ways, there are things that we can do. We can talk, we can discuss, we can share wisdom, we can shed light on things. Or there's sometimes where it's just a matter of our broken hearts. Somebody did something, something happened, and our heart is now broken. Lord, I'm hurting, and I desire of You to grant me healing, and I desire of You to grant me relief from this stress. Now, there's things that we can do for most of anything else. I was often called into different offices where there would be problems because, as it turned out, I knew a little something about getting behind and working yourself half to death and everything falling apart. And I developed a reputation of being able to put things back together after they fell apart. So they'd send me on over to an office, and 10 to 1, I'll tell you what was wrong. They'd got something happen, they became frustrated, and they stopped doing the things that they were supposed to do, and things got worse. I go, well, hey, when people call you looking for an apartment, whose job is it to call them back? Well, we share it. Okay, well, let's take a look at how often people call, and you call them back. Well, hold on. No, let's not hold on. What's going on if your sales are suffering? Are you talking to the people that are calling you saying, hey, I want to give you money? You ever have that with a contractor lately? You give them a call, well, we'll see if we can get to it. We'll see if we got time. Say, no, I want to give you money. Don't you want money? You know, don't you want to be paid for this? No, so there's things that we can do. What can we do? Sometimes I'll just tell them, I go, we need to reduce the workload. We need to organize the workload. We need to figure out what's going on here. We need to be more realistic. Do we need to hire a person? Do we need to fire a person? What do we got to do to get this right? And we put it together. There are moments in our lives like Esther. Esther had one shot. I got to go to the king and I got to tell the king what's going on. And I got to make these requests of the king. Sometimes you got to put in the work. So often we fail because we don't see a problem that we could fix. We fall victims to things. I've known a lot of people like that. No matter what happens, they're a victim to it. Oh, I can't believe this happened. Can you believe this traffic? And oh man, I'm going to be late for work. Why me? Why am I mourning? Lord, why are you doing this to me? And you're driving by a two-car accident. They're piling people into the ambulances. And there's us. Oh, why me? Why is this happening to me? And then we lose our minds that way. We'll have some bad, we'll hear some bad news from a relative, or some relatives will get all hyped up and energetic and causing trouble here and there. I finally had to tell a couple relatives this: hey, listen, if it's a matter of a party, if it's a matter of something I can help you with, absolutely. But if you're calling me with some gossip or some nonsense, if you're asking me to bail you out one more time, I'm afraid the answer is no. I tell you what, if this breaks, that happens, I'm here to help you, man. I really am. If something bad happens to you and there's something I can do to help, I'm there. But if you're just calling because you want to share your sinful stories, if you're just calling because you're looking for some strife or you want to share some of your strife with me, no thank you. You know, there was an entire house I skipped this year for Christmas just because you're not acting right. What are you doing? You fighting over there? We'll see you next year. We'll see you next year. Well, why? Don't you understand? You got to have more respect. You got to have more love. Yeah, I'm not bringing my kids over there. Sorry. Bye. Is it? Call me back when you're in a better mood. Listen, there's things that we can do, but we've got to be intellectually honest with the problem. Right? If I've got a problem tying my shoes, the problem lies right here. Am I right? If I've got a problem making the bills paid, but I'm in that drive-through all the time, well, I tell you what, there's your problem right there. If you're sitting there on Amazon and you're blowing out money on this and that, well, there's your problem right there. If you've got strife and contention in your life, if you're at war with everybody, well, hey, let's take a second to look at the common denominator. We got to be honest about our problems if we're ever going to properly deal with stress. Esther could sit there and say, Mordecai was right. There is one person that could go to the king and make this right. And if I do nothing, it's not going to preserve me. It's not going to save me. I've known a lot of people that think if I just don't pick up the phone and talk to so-and-so, then I won't have any issues. Well, if I don't do anything at all, what are they going to do? Come get me? You know, I knew somebody in college that way. They'd gotten to a little bit of mischief. The cops were looking for them. I go, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm just, you know, nothing. I go, you should probably do something. No, I'm not going to do anything. Finally talked him into doing something. Why? Because what happens when you don't, when you ignore problems? They get bigger. And those problems come to find you. And folks, that happens so much in our lives, where we ignore problems and we think that by ignoring them, we'll be okay. We can't. We've got to roll up our sleeves. We've got to knuckle down. We've got to do the difficult things. If we ever want to be in this position where Esther was, where she sees this ring and it goes to Mordecai and she gets to put Mordecai at the head of Haman's house, or if you want to sit there and get to the top of the mountain and everything's going swell, you got to put in the effort. You got to do things right. See, what we need is some resolve in our steps. We need some strength in our decisions. We need to have a little bit more dedication to doing things right if we want to get to this point. Those stresses you can do nothing about, you can always give them to the Lord. Go back to Him in those moments. And some days it'll feel like you're at His throne for most of the day. Some days you'll feel like once that morning was good enough. But it is the only solution we have. And it's a good solution. Because the Lord does give peace. He does give comfort. He does give strength. So that we can face those difficult days. Those days that are filled with physical pain. Those days that are filled with emotional pain. That are set up. We look at a society today that does not know how to handle stress. And I want you to think about that statement. We do not know how to handle stress anymore. The great resigning that we had. Well, if there was just an inch or an ounce of me not feeling comfortable, what, you want me to work an 8-hour day? What, you want me to work 5 days a week? That's too much. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some bad employers out there, right? You gotta make a smart decision. You got a bad employer. I had one time we were delivering car parts. The boss had a bit of a temper. He went back one time. He grabbed himself a straight pipe for the exhaust, went back to the large rack that we had all the exhausts on. He thought it was strong enough for him to wail on it. And this was a big boy. He walked out there and just bam, bam. Next thing you know, the entire warehouse is just filled with the sound of that whole shelf breaking, that pipe breaking down on another pipe, just sending all those exhausts, all those mufflers, all the pieces all over the place. Just blah, 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 blah. As a bad employer, it's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me, because you're the boss, it's time for me to get out of here, man, because I'm working for baby Huey over here. I got to go. But no, think about some of it. It's just, well, there's not enough work. There's not enough time. There's not enough effort being put into it. Right, so what do? We walk away, we walk out. We need to learn how to handle stress just a little bit better. We need to learn how to be just a little bit tougher in these things. Again, not becoming doormats, not becoming punch dummies, but instead, let us rise to the occasion. Let us rise to it. We've got a lot of people out there that want things handed to them. They don't want to put in the effort. They don't know a day of struggle. They don't know a day of work. They don't know these things. And we often put it on the young, but we've had people like these for as long as we've had people. They just, for the life of them, do not want to leave mommy and daddy's house. They do not want to leave and join the real world. We must be willing when the work is needed to put the work in to fix the problems that are going on in our lives if we ever want to leave stress. We see here the rewarding of Mordecai. Mordecai, he sat in sackcloth. He mourned. He was very troubled. Why? Because we're talking about the genocide of an entire peoples. He mourned. He was so upset and so concerned. He was begging for God's help. And now we see that through the proper application or the proper act, we see reward. We see things better. I want you to think about the last time you went through a hard trial. Maybe you're going through one now, but I want you to think about the last hard trial you've been through and you got all the way through it. Wasn't the middle of the storm a whole lot different than a few days after the storm? Wasn't that nice? We need to be looking to get to that point instead of being lost in a sea of emotions and lost in a sea of bad thoughts. Let us instead put the effort in. Lord, what should I do? Lord, what can I do? And then you make the effort to get those things done. You know, many of us, we sit here and we struggle with certain things. Well, I wish... You know, every time he gets up there and he preaches on Bible study and Bible reading, it makes me feel stress. Well, you know how to fix that, right? Not to fix that. Fire the preacher. No. Get in your Bible. You got to fix the problem you're avoiding. You got to put the effort in. Oh, man, every time he gets up there and he preaches on that sin, it really makes me uncomfortable. Well, hey, you know how to fix that. You know? But what do? We sit in a sea of frustration. We sit in a sea of stress that we very easily could approach the throne over, that we very easily could remove from our lives. Do me a favor. For the next 5 minutes, don't rob a bank. Now look at you. Look how good you're doing already, right? You just don't, right? For the next 5 minutes, I don't want you to tell a lie. and we'll sit here with our mouths shut and we'll do a pretty good job. Am I right? It's not hard to not. We get in our own head, we get some crazy thoughts going on, and we lose focus. If we ever want to be where Esther and Mordecai were, we need focus. We see here in chapter 9, if you go to chapter 9, now in the 12th month, it is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Now, what I want us to pay attention here is something that, again, historically happened, but we can see a metaphorical version of it today. There are things that seek to have control over you. There are things that want to have every dollar you've got. They want every ounce of your attention. They want you, you know, body, soul, and spirit. They want you completely. And what we must do instead is see ourselves here. What sought to have command over us, we need to remember that we have command over. We have command over. Think about some of your troubles and your trials. We control what we put in our bodies. We control what we put in our minds. We control what we do with every minute. Well, brother, it doesn't feel that way. No. But we can, in some way, control. You know, my pastor used to have this rule that you couldn't come and talk to him about serious stuff before he went up to preach. And I understand that, because you get on a train and something happens and it knocks you off that train and you're up there a stuttering fool. And I'm like, well, I'm already a stuttering fool. I don't know what I would do. But no, he taught me this. He says, everything you do, everything you write, everything you work on, everything you're going to present, everything you need copied, everything you need printed, you do Friday and Saturday. Because Sunday morning will get away from you. And what he's saying isn't that there's a swath of time you can't control, but I can control it by preparing for the onslaught of randomness, right? Hey, Dad, you know, my shoes are this. I'll come in. It seems like my boys are just creative with their collars. You ever see that? They're just creative with their collars. They just have them sticking all over in different areas. Dad doesn't have it all figured out together either. Brother Charlie has to straighten me out every now and then, you know? But we control things by preparing for them. Hey, listen, I can't control what temptations are out there, but I can guard this heart before I get to that temptation. And when I am there, I can't control that it got in, but I can control what happened after it did. It's like a mouse in the house or a rat or something like that. I had no idea it got in, but I know how to get it back out. At Flat Rock, we had a bird that got into the church one time, and we couldn't get the thing out, and we tried for a whole day to get that thing out. Finally, we had to make the decision that there was only one way to catch it, and that was to make it really still first. Now, folks, we were there for 8 hours. You ever try to stop? Do you ever try to get an animal out of a building for 8 hours? You get to that point where it just needs to be real still first. And we did, and that's exactly what happened. But we had to make the decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to fix this problem, or are we just going to have a bird hanging around for a while, and he'll get somewhere, and he'll die. He'll stink real good, and here we are victims to it. No, we get the problem out once it gets back in. Right? And we make sure that whatever happened, however it got in, we keep it out. We have control over the things that are in our lives. The problem is we don't feel like we have control. Sometimes that temptation is loud. Sometimes that temptation even hurts. Causes all manner of issues in our lives. Sometimes it is literally the only thing we can think about for days. But I'm here to tell you, the Word of God says you have control. Full control over the decisions you make. Full control over those that would seek to have command over you. Verse 4, for Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. Hey, listen, I know we're at the top of the year and we're thinking about things, and I got a sermon that kind of goes along with it, but you need to start thrashing some of those things that are thrashing you. You need to start destroying some of those things that are destroying you. You need to start grabbing a hold of it, take a hold of it, because as Brother Charlie said this morning, we don't know how much longer we've got to do those things. We make a big deal about age, but we have no idea how long we have. Doesn't it seem like we've got a lot of people dying here in their 30s? We got a lot of people dying in their 40s, and of course you've always got drugs and alcohol to contend with that are killing us at a large number. We've got a lot of things killing us. We don't know how much time we've got. So we must decide that if we're going to make war, we're going to make war now. It is going to be a good war. But that war cannot be just haphazard. We must go to the Lord. Ask him for strength, yes, but we also must go to the Lord in how to do this. You see, Esther didn't plot an assassination, did she? Mordecai did not hire an assassin. He went to Esther. They went through the right channels. They did things in an honorable way. There was no murder. There was no deceit. There was no trickery. It was all above the board honesty. And that's how the Lord answered. We can't do things through the back door. We can't slide up and cause trouble and try to do things our own way or do things in a sinful way because we think that the situation calls for it. Something we say often in our house, there is never a good time to do the wrong thing. Because isn't that always our temptation? Well, I had to make an exception. I had to make an excuse. I had to do this or that because otherwise we'd never... No, we don't do that. What we're saying is when we have to inject sin into a situation in order to get something to work, what we're saying is that God's grace is not sufficient for this. We need to play with the devil to get this done. And that is a bad statement to make. What we are saying is that the Lord needs a little bit of my brand to help in order to get this done. And that cannot be further from the truth. What we've got to do is, Lord, what do you want? Now, we know several things that God wants. A lot of people, they battle over the will of God. Hey, is it the will of God that I take this job, that I go here, that I go there? Those things can be a little difficult to tell and to discern. But there are some things, many things, that are not difficult to discern. You don't need to wonder what God's will is concerning honesty. You do not need to know, or you don't need to battle over what God's will is concerning your marriage. It's very clear what we ought to be doing in there. In your parenthood, it's very clear what we ought to be doing concerning our church behavior. What kind of action should we do? Well, there's a whole bunch of Ten Commandments that tell us. There's a whole bunch of commandments that tell us how we should or should not act. We see in Scripture very clear things. We need to use those things. We need to have those things. Again, there was no assassination plot. There was no trickery. There was no deceit. There was no hiding things. They did things right. If we are to appropriately handle and deal with stress, we need to do things by the rules. We need to do things right. There was a young lady I knew one time. She refused to learn how to drive, which is none of my business. But she would take an Uber to work every day. You ever hear about that Uber? When you were young, you were told not to take rides from strangers and not to give people on the internet your address and your phone number. Uber comes along, you can do both real quick. You know? But now Uber, she would Uber back and forth every day, and she was always on time, and she was always okay. But she would Uber, and after a while, she goes, hey, listen, you know, I need a raise because we're really struggling financially back at home. And I go, you know what you could do? You could just learn how to drive. You could just, fix this thing, because how much does it cost? She says, well, it costs about anywhere from $11 to $15 a ride. I go, you're spending almost 30 bucks a day just to drive back and forth? I go, you know what kind of car payment you could roll that into? You could buy a big old bus, drive us all to work for that kind of money a day. You could really do well there with that. So what do we got to do? Hey, let's take a look at this. What can I do? What must I do to fix this? Instead of sitting there ignorantly, pretending like we've got a problem that we can't get rid of. We've got things that we can't solve. We need to be honest. If there's something on the table that we've got to make some sacrifices for, that we've got to grow up a little bit for, that we've got to tell ourselves no for, we need to do it, because we're never going to see the other side of it. Again, we need to go to the Lord. We need to have a little bit of honesty in our dealings. What can I do? Not what do I want to do, not what is convenient for me, but what must be done to solve this problem. And of course, as we've talked about on several occasions, for those things that well and truly 100% we can do nothing about. Storm comes in, wipes out the crops. Power goes out. You get sick. We lose a loved one. All the things that happen, and there's very little we can do anything about. We go to the Lord and we give those things to Him. And we ask of Him the things that we need. I want to say something, and it's going to sound very insensitive, but I want you to follow me on this. I have seen and heard some people say, I will never heal. I will never heal from this. And I've heard some people say, well, I need all the time that I can. Listen, there is no expectation on healing from grief. I'm going to say that again just so I'm clear. There's no expectation of a time frame in healing from grief. But to sit there and believe that God can't help you in your grief, can't help mend you in your grief, can't help you in your struggles, is pretty close to blasphemy. Pretty close to blasphemy. Listen, we all carry burdens of loss and troubles and struggles. And I'll tell you what, there's a couple in my heart that I'll carry till the day I die. And every now and then they come up and they prickle and they hurt and they sting and they changed my life. And yeah, I know for a fact things will never go the same way again. I'll never feel the same way again. But I trust in the Lord. And I go to Him as a child goes to their father. Gideon, bless his little heart, he wanted to stay up all night last night. He told everybody, well, I'm going to stay up all night. Sure you are, buddy. He sat on the couch and stayed up all night. He was out by 10:30. Just sacked. I looked over at him. He was spread eagle on the couch. Half his little legs were dangling off the couch. He looked like somebody knocked him out, and he was just laying there, you know. Danielle woke him up at around 12:30, and we're bringing him upstairs to put him in his bed. Oh, he looked so grumpy. All right, good night, buddy. I love you. Sleep good. Have good sleep. Woke him up this morning. I didn't fall asleep. I go, buddy, you fell asleep. You're a little cranky today about that. And, y'all, there's things that he wanted, things that he wished for. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh. Don't always work our way. Don't always go our way. Lord, give me what I need. Give me what I need. Because I'll tell you this, the Lord will help you laugh again. The Lord will help you smile again. Just as the Lord put the enemies of His people under their command, God has put all things in your life under yours. Now, again, there's limitations. You can't help what's gone. You can't help what's broke sometimes. But that grief you can have control over. Again, He won't take it away. Something we learn to live with. Something we grow strong from. Something that we can help others with. Something that will always be there, yes. However, we can get healing. We can get comfort. Now, thinking back to Gideon again, as we're carrying him up, he's hanging on to us in his little grief, his little anger. You know, for us, we're like, oh, that's nothing. That's cute. To him, it was the world. What did he do? He was hanging on to mama and he was hanging on to me. You know, just hanging on. Why? Because he's little. He needs that hug. If he's up at 12:30, he's going to need a hug. Lord, put your arms around me. Lord, help me. My nerves are shot. My emotions are high. I don't know what to do here. But I do know this, that all good things come from you. I know that you've got command over every storm that happens, both physical and metaphorical. And I trust in you. See, as we've said, we often equate stress to the emotion around it. But we need to start seeing stress as the actual thing that's taking place. The actual thing that's taking place. We talked on Friday at our coffee fellowship about how some folks, they don't want to have the problem fixed. They just want someone to listen. And I kind of understand that. But again, maybe it's because I'm a man. I don't know. But I've often found that if you put out the fire, the smoke detector goes off. The smoke detector stops. Right? I have often found that when I put gas in the car, the light goes off. That's just my experience. Right? If my hand is feeling super hot and it's painful, I have learned taking it off of the frying pan. Great relief. Great relief. Sometimes we struggle not so under the stress. We get more distracted by the emotion that comes from the stress. When what we need to do is look at what it is that's putting that pressure on us. Having an honest biblical look at it, asking God for wisdom and discernment, seeking scripture for wisdom and discernment, coming to your pastor and fellow church members for wisdom and discernment in this situation, and putting the effort in. Putting the effort in. All right, what can I do about this? What can I do to help? And sometimes the greatest need that you have is just to have a friend there, to spend that time with you. Hey, I'm having a rough day. With this problem, has beat me up. Wow, let's go to lunch. Why don't I come on over? We'll have a cup of tea. All right, hey, I tell you what, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a drive. Let's go do something to kind of talk. I'll be there for you. I'll put my arms around you. I'll pray with you. And you better believe that your Heavenly Father is glad to do the same. We are not useless when it comes down to stress. We are not victims. We are children of God, a God who loves and cares and provides. It is when we go off alone without Him that we double the problem. We must stay by Him in our actions. Stay by Him in our presence. I'm often with Him. I'm often praying with Him. And the harder the problems be out to be, the closer we need to be to Him. Not that I would ever recommend being further from Him, because I've never had any help in being further from the Lord. Right? We can trust in Him for deliverance from our stress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are blessed to be here this morning. Lord, we're grateful for a brand new year. And Lord, we know this, that in your eyes, we've just changed our calendars. That there's nothing distinctive. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that, Lord, you do not always honor our calendar. You do not always see it as important because you have your ways. And your ways are much higher than ours. So I pray this, Father, that you help us. You give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. Give us ability to conquer the things that are in our lives. So, Lord, number one, we can bring you the honor and glory. And number two, we may live lives best utilized in your service. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.